Oh, I was just out looking at the weather wire here, Bill, and I couldn't believe the temperature. That's why it took me so long to get in here. 68. I thought there was something wrong, yeah. That's 68 already.
What's that a climb over the last hour?
Let me see. At 9:30, it was 65. And at 9 o'clock, where did our 9 o'clock go? I think Tim took that with him to save it.
Three degrees in 30 minutes is not
That's pretty
too
good. Low 80s forecast in the metropolitan area today. 85 is the record high for this date. So we're not going to be very far away from record temperatures today.
That's great.
This is unseasonably warm, very much. And we're going to see mild temperatures all weekend, but we are going to have some thundershower activity beginning late tonight, early tomorrow morning, and continuing across the weekend. A 50% chance of that happening tomorrow and again on Sunday.
Well, that was a prediction earlier from the Weather Service.
That's right. They've been talking about perhaps some rain all week. They've been saying we might get some rain on the weekend, and sure enough, it's coming our way. It's moving out of Montana into the western Dakotas this morning, and it's going to move across the Dakotas into Minnesota by tonight. So there you have it. Wisconsin will see the effects of it by tomorrow morning.
We'll take it.
Okay. We need some showers. Get those lawns nice and green. How's your lawn doing? Pretty good, huh? Or don't you look at that thing?
It's a little measly at the moment.
Measly.
No, I put in a new sidewalk and chunks of concrete all over it.
That's
and
not fun.
Cement.
That's
cement
not
stuff.
Fun at all. That tears up a lawn something fierce.
A little raking.
Yeah.
Rain will
help. A little digging, a little rain to wash it back in place.
The rhubarb is coming up, though.
I haven't even looked at ours. I'll bet it is.
It's about an inch above the ground now.
Oh, wow. I've been looking at the peonies and the petunias and the tulips. And we got a couple other things that my wife threw in last year in one of the flower spots, and we're not too sure what the name of them is, but they're nice.
I'm going to plant corn this year.
Corn? Have you got a garden plot?
Not really.
Oh, you're going
to have 2 8-foot stalks right next to the back door.
Well, that'll probably look very nice. This fellow Baker who wrote Plants Are Like People, he suggests that you do things like that. Like he says, to line your sidewalks, use lettuce and cabbage and carrots and stuff like that. Line your flower garden with carrots all the way around.
Vegetarian
it.
Landscaping.
Yeah, right, not? Right. It makes a lot of sense, but I'd go bananas trying to figure out where I'm going to plant what and then remembering what's where.
Bananas don't grow too well in this
True.
Climate.
Thank you very much for that very good agronomical hint, whatever the word is. 7 minutes after 10 o'clock at WCCO FM 103 in Minneapolis. 67 now in Rochester. It's 67 in St. Cloud and 68 degrees in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Such a great sun. Gladys Knight and the Pips on WCCO FM in peaceful waters. 10:11, Twin Cities temperature is 68. Already going to be a hot one. Yeah, plan to get outside and soak up some of that sunshine, huh? Hey, Tim Russell is going to be soaking up some tea and taking in the Arm Wrestling Championship tomorrow afternoon. The Northeast Tea and Arm Wrestling Championships take place tomorrow at the Northeast State Bank Parking Lot Park. And as far as we know, this is the only time that highlights of an arm wrestling championship have been covered by radio live, as we are going to do beginning a bit past 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So be listening for Tim Russell and reports direct from the Northeast Tea and Arm Wrestling Championship. Get up there if you can. That's fun to visit. We have a forecast of low 80s this afternoon, so if you're going to be doing some shopping, dress properly, eh? Dress cool. Last night, Ken Mills featured, late in the evening, a brand new album by Stan Kenton called 7.5 on the Richter Scale. I hope you had a chance to listen to it. It blew me right out of the water. Great, great sound. Here's a selection from that album. This is good old Body and Soul done up nicely. That's gorgeous. That's Stan Kenton on WCCO-FM, and That's from the new album that Ken Mills featured last night on his show, called 7.5 on the Richter Scale. A great old song, done up terrifically, body and soul. Stan is going to be in town with his 19-piece band at the St. Paul Central High School, doing a benefit concert for the St. Paul Central High School Band. And that should be a lot of fun, so go see him if you can, huh? 68 degrees in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Virginia, are you there? Virginia, where are you?
Hey, Virginia, I know it'll come all right when I look into your eyes. It's something in you.
That's William Amesbury on WCCO-FM. And hey, Virginia, 1020, 68 degrees, low 80s today.
Take a second and scrape your fingernail down your front tooth. Do you see the white film gathered on your nail?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Well, in 24 hours, that film will combine with the bacteria in your mouth and become acid.
Where's my toothbrush?
Now, that acid is what decays your teeth and causes the gum disease that accounts for 18 million denture wearers in this country. You can stop that gum disease, but not by brushing after every meal.
Well, then how?
Brushing cleans only the fronts and tops of your teeth. To clean the sides, you need dental floss. Brushing and flossing once a day will remove the film before it becomes acid. A thorough cleaning twice a year from your dentist does the rest. You see, dental problems are not inevitable. All it takes is a little care. Preserve your natural resources.
Thank you very much. I'll do that. Want to bring in dental floss, please? 1021.
White Eyes is here again.
That is Melissa Manchester, and she's going to be in town tomorrow night at the Guthrie. She is a doll. That's Bright Eyes. Hey, Sunday night at 9:30, you'll be listening for our WCCO-FM theater. And Sunday night, the feature is Voyage of the Scarlet Queen. Yeah, that's Theme Bahamas, and that comes to us from Amma Jamal on WCCO-FM 103, Minneapolis, 1030, 68 degrees. In news headlines, the government reports that sharply higher costs of oil imports pushed the U.S. trade balance into deficit during March for the first time in 10 months. The Senate Finance Committee has unanimously approved the nomination of William Simon to be Treasury Secretary. Israel's premier designate has officially begun his efforts to form a new government. The situation in Portugal is reported calm as the military junta has been processing 180 political prisoners for release. And a jury in New York has resumed deliberations in the Mitchell Stans conspiracy trial. A Turkish appeals court has upheld a lower court decision that sentenced a Wisconsin girl and two companions to life in prison for alleged drug smuggling. American Indian leader Dennis Banks is in South Dakota supporting defendants there who are on trial in connection with a demonstration at Custer, South Dakota. And the Minnesota Supreme Court ordered a new trial in the death of a woman following surgery at the community hospital at Laverne. Those are news headlines. The weather is delightful for today. We're going to see some rain on the weekend. Sunny today. It's going to be warm through the weekend. Occasional showers and thunderstorms may occur beginning early tomorrow morning and continuing on Saturday and Sunday. The high today in the low 80s. Tonight's low in the upper 50s, and then tomorrow we'll see upper 70s. The probability of measurable rain and thundershower activity is 30% tonight and 50% by tomorrow. 67 now in both Rochester and St. Cloud, and 68 in Minneapolis, St. Paul. 1032, and here's Logan Messina from WCCO-FM. This is from their new album, On Stage.
People smile and tell me I feel like just begun. Think I'm gonna have a son. Yeah.
And a nice song of Messina. That's Danny's song. And WCCO-FM 103. 6:30 Monday night. St. Paulites, be listening, because Rick Olson of WCCO-FM News will be previewing the St. Paul general election, which comes up very soon. And on Monday evening at 6:30, Rick will talk with the mayoral candidates, the city council and school board candidates, and we'll find out what they're thinking. That's Monday night, 6:30 on WCCO-FM. WCCO-FM. Yeah, that's Piano Man. I'm Paul Stagg. Good morning. If you're a new listener to WCCO-FM, I invite you to join Tim Russell and myself each morning beginning at 7 o'clock here on WCCO-FM. Early in the morning, Tim and I spend a couple of hours together on the air and goof around a little bit and have some fun and bring you all the weather and some sports news and all the latest news, too. So you'll be listening. We have some special guests that drop by each day, like Captain Marsupial and Niles Nimbus, who is our own poet laureate of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And if you've not met those gentlemen, and if you've not yet heard yours truly, Paul Stagg, along with Tim Russell in the mornings, we invite you to join us Monday morning. Monday through Friday, we're here. 18 now before 11 and 68 degrees. The Vogues. Yeah. This is a nice song. This is called Prisoner of Love. Those are the Vogues on WCCO-FM, A Prisoner of Love. If you're going to be a prisoner, I suppose that's a good thing to be a prisoner of. We were just reading over some information here that comes to us on each day from the United Press, and I had a chuckle when I saw this one. If you are a parent, and if your kids are grown up, or if you have kids that are very, very small right now, you can appreciate this story. Today is the first birthday anniversary of the Anderson quintuplets of Bush Prairie, Washington. The three boys and two girls were born to Mr. and Mrs. Eric Anderson in Portland last year. And Diane, who was the smallest at birth, is fully recovered now from heart surgery that she underwent when she was only a few months old. So all of the quintuplets are doing fine. Mrs. Anderson says, however, the five are not walking yet, and as far as she is concerned, she's not ready for it at all. I can imagine what she is thinking, you know. Oh, wow. It's tough enough when you've got one of them who's a year old and begins to walk, but let alone five of them all at one time. That's going to be a joy, a real joy in the Anderson household. Congratulations. Happy birthday to those quintuplets. Bush Prairie was Washington. 14 before 11. The music from Cleo Lane. It's a lovely new artist. And this is called You Must Believe in Spring. On days like today, I do, Cleo.
When lonely feelings fill the meadows of your mind, just think and
listen to that voice, huh? That's a new recording by a gal by the name of Cleo Lane, L-A-I-N-E. And wow, has she got a full, full voice. On one of the cuts on the album, she does a falsetto, very high singing piece that shows she's actually got a freaky voice because she can get way up in the air on one of the other cuts. Way up there, and I mean way up there, and then this one so low, so very low. And that's really freaky when a voice has got a range of that nature. And I don't have a voice like that, so I'm getting around being called a freak. Hey, let's take a vacation.
For more than eight centuries, the Sioux, the Ojibways, and other tribes have convened on these holy grounds to negotiate treaties, to end wars, and to smoke peace pipes fashioned from the unique red rock. Small wonder the white man finds a tranquility here alien to his own culture. Are you in Yellowstone or Yosemite? Neither. You're in Pipestone National Monument in Minnesota. Come in peace. Another reason it's good to be in Minnesota.
And it's good to stay in Minnesota and avoid long cross-country trips during the gasoline shortage. So we've come up with 11 mini-tours, easy gas-saving drives with stops like Pipestone Monument and the last of the Sioux Hunting Grounds, complete with buffalo. Write for your free map to mini-tours, 480 Cedar Street, St. Paul, 55101.
Minnesota!
It's all yours, all year, and all near.
Eau Claire has clear skies and 67 now, La Crosse clear and 64, and Redwood Falls fair skies and 71. Raining in Rapid City, raining in, Huron. So the rains have begun to move into the western Dakotas, and they'll be moving our way. By tomorrow, we'll see the effects. Some thunder showers forecast. Here's Cat Stevens. This is from his new album, Buddha and the Chocolate Box.
What will you leave us this time? What will you leave us this time?
That's Cat Stevens on WCCO-FM. Oh, the very young. Low 80s forecast today in our WCCO-FM listening area. In St. Cloud and to the north, temperatures will reach well into the 70s. In St. Cloud already, it's 67 degrees, 67 in Rochester. And several points around the area reporting temperatures already into the 70s. So, have yourself a nice Friday. Get out, enjoy the weather if you possibly can. Get a little sunshine on those shoulders, huh? Okay, dear. And, of course, tomorrow we hope the rain won't be very much of a factor in messing up your weekend plans. We say that because we're going to be at the Northeast Tee and Arm Wrestling Championship broadcasting live tomorrow afternoon with Tim Russell. Tim will be bringing us reports throughout the early afternoon hours. And so if you can't make it to the Northeast Tee and Arm Wrestling Championship, you make it with FM 103. Tim Russell will have reports. 5 minutes before 11 o'clock. This is Shirley Bassey on WCCO-FM. This is called Davy.
Davy, don't be foolish.
That is called Davy. That's Shirley Bassey on WCCO-FM 103 in Minneapolis. Bill Henderson is here. And, Bill, did you have a chance to check the temperature there quick before you walked in here? No. Sorry about that. I'll get it.
68 was the last word.
That's right, yeah. Low 80s today. Oh, it's so nice out there. What are we doing sitting inside here?
We can move outdoors.
Think we could take these microphones out there? Why not? Or up on the roof?
Sure.
We're going to do that yet.
We need a little. This is iced tea weather already.
Oh, you're right. As a matter of fact, I had a glass of it yesterday. Thank you all.
I had a... What the heck did I have? I had an orange, some fantastic exotic name at a local restaurant downtown. It was an orange drink, but it was extremely sweet.
Oh.
With a kind of a foam on the top of it. Julep. It was an orange julep.
Oh, an orange julep?
Something like
that. I've never heard of it. I've heard of mint juleps, but,
I don't know. I may be wrong on that.
That sounds good, though.
I've been wrong more than once. But
well, that's okay. Well, check that out for us, would you?
I will.
That might be a fantastic new drink that nobody knows about.
I'll bring you one back.
Was it good?
Yes.
Oh, good. 11 o'clock at WCCO-FM 103 in Minneapolis, and now that we've discussed the culinary delights of Bill Henderson, let's discuss news.
I liked your agronomalism.
Love it. It's the last hour. I'll practice that one.
From Washington this morning, the Senate Finance Committee has unanimously approved William Simon's nomination as Treasury Secretary. The full Senate is expected to follow suit next week. Simon appeared briefly at a closed meeting of the committee this morning. The Commerce Department reports that despite record dollar volume in exports, high-priced petroleum put the U.S. balance of trade in a deficit in March for the first time in 9 months. The deficit amounted to $171 million. The government reports that productivity, the amount of goods and services a worker produces in 1 hour, fell at an annual rate of 5.5% in the first quarter of 1974. That's the largest quarterly decrease since 1958. The jury in the Mitchell Stans trial resumed deliberations in the influence peddling case against the two former Nixon cabinet officers. The 9 men and 3 women showed up 20 minutes early to resume the deliberations, which began late yesterday. Israel has a new premier. He is Yitzhak Rabin, and Rabin says he is going to form a new cabinet.
I'm going to try to
do my best to form the new cabinet on the basis of the present parliamentarian coalition. I hope, Mr. President, that I'll be in a position in relatively short time to present to you the new cabinet.
Rabin has 3 weeks to form that new cabinet. He replaces Israel's Golda Meir. Israeli and Syrian forces clashed in the Golan Heights for the 46th consecutive day today. There are reports two Soviet ships are en route to Syria, carrying part of the huge supply of newer and more sophisticated weapons Moscow has reportedly promised Syria. A tornado ripped through a trailer park in the West Texas city of Pecos early today, injuring 12 persons. The twister also knocked out electrical power on the southwest side of the city. Military sources say Viet Cong commandos dressed in government uniforms apparently tossed grenades into a military classroom filled with South Vietnamese recruits. The five explosions killed 17 draftees, wounding 118 others at a training center 9 miles north of Saigon. The head of Portugal's new military junta outlined political reforms today, including a pledge to hold free elections in the shortest possible time. The ousted president and his top associates went into exile today on the island of Madeira. The San Francisco Police Department has eased up on their zebra killer probe after a court order yesterday. NAACP attorney Nathaniel Cawley explains the restrictions.
More simply stopping people because they're black and male and age 20 to 30. No more stopping people just because they're thin. In other words, the stops have to be based upon some reasonable and probable cause. They've got to have some reasonable basis for it, not just talking people. Black.
Police are looking for the killers of 12 people in San Francisco. The random shootings apparently had no motive. A three-judge panel at federal court is to hear motions today in the challenge of Minnesota's new abortion law. Five physicians and a pregnant woman whose name has not been made public brought the court action last month. On April 11th, one of the three federal judges signed a temporary restraining order to prohibit enforcement of the new law. The law says that after 20 weeks of pregnancy, abortions can be performed only to save the life of the mother. The challenge was brought on grounds the state law conflicts with the U.S. Supreme Court 1972 decision that abortions up to 6 months or 26 weeks are strictly a matter between a woman and her doctor. Minnesota Supreme Court today ordered a new trial in the death of a woman following surgery at Laverne Community Hospital. The suit had been brought by Wayne Bryan of Hardwick, Minnesota, after his wife, Irma, died following gallbladder surgery. Hardwick contended that a sponge left in the woman's body contributed to her death. The Minnesota Supreme Court has upheld dismissal of a lawsuit based on an injury caused by a flying baseball bat. The Martin County Court had found no negligence and dismissed the suit brought by John Lutterman. The youth was injured by a bat at the high school gymnasium in Sherburne in 1970. Lutterman had sued the student who swung the bat, Wayne Studer, along with Sherburne baseball coach Douglas Ringnell and the school district. One of three men accused in the abduction of a South St. Paul banker's wife has pleaded guilty to a state charge of kidnapping. 43-year-old Frederick Halberg of Bloomington issued the guilty plea in district court at Anoka yesterday. A pre-sentence investigation was ordered. The death of a St. Paul man in a three-car collision in Maplewood has raised the 1974 traffic toll to 168. Authorities said Robert Thorsheim was dead on arrival at St. Paul Ramsey's Hospital after the accident at the intersection of Interstate 94 and McKnight Road. That's news. Bill Henderson reporting from WCCO-FM.
You know what I get to do tonight?
No, Paul. What do you get to do tonight?
Interview Harry Chapin.
Hey, well, that's
he's
a treat in itself.
Show me how to drive a taxi or something. I don't know what he's going
to
do.
Or he's going to tell you how to be an old announcer.
Yeah, we're going to hear that story in just a moment here. Harry, we said yesterday we were hoping we could get him in here this afternoon for an interview at 5 o'clock, but then his manager called yesterday and said, oh, wait a minute, we've got a late flight into Minneapolis. He'll be here at 6, and his first on-stage appearance is scheduled for 7 tonight at the Guthrie, so might be a little tight.
It does happen so often. Entertainers are on a strictly tight schedule.
I don't know how these people do it, really.
Well, I think you have to really be born into the
you have to love it.
To do it.
Definitely, because look at the poor guy. He probably appeared someplace last night. He's making PR calls today. He's flying in at 6 o'clock to the Twin Cities. He's going on stage at 7. He'll do another show later at 10. And in between those shows, I'm going to be interviewing him in his dressing room, and then we'll have the interview for you next week. But, you know, the poor guy doesn't get a chance to sit down and relax.
It's like the old one-nighters.
Yeah, it's almost that way. That's exactly right.
It took its toll of the big bands.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, they've got some wild stories to tell about how that that can affect a person. Olivia Newton-John was here yesterday afternoon. She was in for a day to do some PR work. She's out again doing concerts. She'll be back in again next week to do her concert. I don't know. I think I'll just be a good old announcer and stay here, right here. 72 now in Minneapolis-St. Paul. As a matter of fact, it's 72 in Rochester. It's 72 in St. Cloud. It's 72 in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Everybody has got a nice day going. We'll see low 80s today, rain early tomorrow morning, and that rain will continue across the weekend. There's a possibility of some thundershower activity also. 50% chance, as a matter of fact, of rain tomorrow in our WCCO-FM listening area. Now, this rain is coming with a low-pressure center that is moving from Montana into the Dakotas right now, and as it moves across the plains, it could build in intensity. So we're going to keep our eye on this one for you all weekend. You stay with us on WCCO-FM, and we'll watch the weather for you. 72 degrees, and here's Harry's latest. No, it's not either. Let's back up here, Glenn, and let's play WOLD, huh? Okay. What is side one, cut two, I think, there? Or something like that. Harry has had Taxi as a very popular song that was released a few years back. And now the most recent one that Harry has had a lot of success with is this one, WOLD.
Hello, honey, it's me. What did you think when you heard me back on the radio?
By the hand, take me by the hand, pretty mama, come and dance.
Doobie Brothers on WCCO-FM. That's nice. That's Black Water from their new album. We have showers now that have moved as far east as Sioux Falls, and they will be approaching the western edge of Minnesota soon. Thundershower going on right now in Huron, and it's been raining in Rapid City this morning, so the Dakotas are receiving that rain that has been forecast, and we're going to see it by late tonight or early tomorrow morning in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area. And it will, of course, move across our five states by tomorrow. And we're going to be hanging around for most of the weekend. So, if you're heading any place, bring an umbrella along. Temperatures will be nice, but a little bit wet on the edges. 1121 at WCCO-FM. And let's see, let's talk to you for just a moment and tell you about a couple of guests that I will have with me next Wednesday morning. Gloria Johnson and Carol Robinson will be here from Wisconsin, and they will be here on behalf of Friends of Children of Vietnam. The week of May 5th is Vietnam Orphans Week in Wisconsin, and we're going to talk to the ladies about it, what the state is doing, and what this organization, Friends of Children of Vietnam, is doing. And all in all, we hope that you'll get something from it. That's 10 o'clock next Wednesday morning on WCCO-FM. This is Deodato from his In Concert album. And this is called The Spirit of Summer. I'll take that kind of music any day. Isn't that nice? Yeah, that's Deodato in concert, Spirit of Summer on WCCO-FM. The St. Matthew Passion by Bach will be performed in a special two-part concert May 5th. At the Hamlin United Methodist Church, 1514 Englewood Avenue, St. Paul. Part 1 is going to be sung at 4:30 p.m., and Part 2 will be at 8 p.m. Participating in the program, the Hamlin University Chorale, Hamlin A Cappella Choir, Hamlin Church Choir, Sacred Heart Boys Choir, and the musical offering assisted by members of the Minnesota Orchestra and the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. That is a production indeed. That's the Passion, St. Matthew Passion by Bach, and it's in a two-part program on May 5th at the Hamlin United Methodist Church. Check some news for you in a moment. Here's Maria.
Midnight at the Oasis. Oh, yeah.
We've got Oasis weather, don't we, huh? 72 now in Minneapolis-St. Paul, and mid-80s are forecast this afternoon, which could bring us a record high temperature for the date. It's 11:31 in news headlines. The White House says transcripts have been completed of 36 of the 42 Watergate tapes subpoenaed by the House Judiciary Committee. Officials say the other conversations sought were not recorded. The officials say the transcripts will be submitted to the impeachment panel by the new Tuesday deadline and are, in the words of the officials, complete in their integrity. But they say profanities, vulgarities, and irrelevancies were deleted.
The Senate Finance Committee has unanimously approved the nomination of William Simon as Treasury Secretary. Confirmation is expected from the full Senate next week. And on the economy front, the government reports the U.S. balance of trade went into the deficit column in March for the first time in 9 months, and productivity fell at an annual rate of 5.5% in the first quarter. A Turkish court has upheld a lower court ruling that sentenced three Americans, including a Lancaster, Wisconsin woman, to life imprisonment for alleged drug smuggling. The Minnesota Supreme Court has ordered a new trial in the death of a Hardwick, Minnesota woman, and a three-judge panel will hear motions today challenging Minnesota's new abortion law. As we mentioned, mid-80s forecast for the high today in Minneapolis, St. Paul. The record high for the date is 85, set in 1970. We just might break that. The low tonight will go into the upper 50s, and then tomorrow, with occasional showers and thunderstorms, we'll see a high in the upper 70s. Probability of rain by tonight and tomorrow, 30% tonight, 50% chance tomorrow. Mentioned earlier that according to the last report we've had from our area, Sioux Falls is reporting very light rain showers and 66 degrees, and so the rain has moved that far toward us. Won't be too long. Minnesota is going to be experiencing some shower activity in the west. 72 now in St. Cloud and Rochester and also the Twin Cities, and we all are experiencing bright, sunny skies today. 11:33 on WCCO-FM, 103. Yes? Yes, yes. Yep, El Chicano on WCCO-FM. 8:12 is sunset this evening. Should be a nice night. We've got a little backyard barbecue thing planned for tomorrow night at our house, but with my luck, sure enough, rain is forecast. Well, we'll do it in the garage. That'll be fun. At least temperatures will be warm. Say, this afternoon, Dave Teller has a special guest. A bit past 2 o'clock, Chuck Dayton is his name. He's a lobbyist for the Sierra Club. And this is an environmentalist group that is going to be holding a three-day event called Earth Revival at the Universalist Church at West 50th Street and Humboldt Avenue South in Minneapolis. And we invite you to be listening this afternoon to find out more about it. That's 2 o'clock, Dave Teller. We'll have as his guest Chuck Dayton from the Sierra Club. This is Michael Murphy. It's a pretty song. It's called Rye by the Sea. Isn't that nice? That's Rye by the Sea, Michael Murphy, WCCO-FM. That's a new album by Mike. It's pretty. 20 minutes before 12 noon, and our temperature in Minneapolis, St. Paul, is 72. In fact, it's 72 all over the place. Rochester, St. Cloud reporting the same temperature. We'll see mid-80s today. So keep cool. Tell me a lie. This is Sammy Doe on WCCO-FM 103, 16 and a half now before noon. This is No Lie. We have a special six-page issue of the WCCO-FM listeners' newsletter. It's going to be out the second week of May, a couple of weeks from now. Now, if we don't have your name on our listeners' newsletter mailing list, then you send it to us and address a card to us with your name and address on it. Our address is WCCO-FM 215 South 11th Street. Twin Cities 55403. We'll get your name on our mailing list. This is going to be a fun issue to see. You make sure you get your name to us if you don't already have your name on our list. Now, if you have written to us before, we undoubtedly do have your name on the list, so it's not necessary to write us again. 72 degrees, sunshine, and music. That's enough.
nice of you, Sicka Boys and Girls. And thank you very much. 72 in the Twin Cities, 12 minutes before noon. We're going to look at the entire news scene at 12 for you here on WCCO-FM. Mark Johnson will be reporting today. I think Bill Henderson succumbed to the weather and left. I heard him saying this as he left. That's a recording of Bill leaving the building. Amen to that, brother. That's Ringo on WCCO-FM, and it's sunshine live for me. Today, you've got it, friends. Mid-80s this afternoon forecast. That will either tie or surpass the record high for this date, which is 85, set back in 1970. So let's all do our part, think warm, and we'll set a new record high. Then we'll see showers over the weekend, but temperatures will remain mild in the 70s. 8 before noon, let's listen to something cool, huh? Something easy to take today? Barbara Streisand.
You've got the cool water, something so nice.
Something so right. That's our weather today, friends. That's Barbara Streisand on WCCO-FM. Mark Johnson is going to be reporting news for us in just a couple of moments, and then you're going to be heading out to Austin, right, Mark?
Austin, Minnesota, right.
You're going to be covering the convention going on there this weekend.
The GOP 2nd District.
That's the 2nd District. Now, I understand there are other conventions going on.
That's
also.
That's right. The 3rd and the 5th in Minneapolis, the 7th in Fergus Falls, and I think I kind of slipped there. Those are GOP conventions. There are a couple of DFL this
weekend. Okay, all right, yeah. But we are going to cover direct from Austin with you personally there.
We're trying to cover the conventions where
things are...
Yeah,
happening,
popping.
Right? Yeah, some interesting issues are coming up. Well, I hope you have a nice weekend in Austin.
Hope it doesn't rain.
A tour of the meatpacking plant or something? You're going to take the bus down there, I understand.
No, these things really don't turn into social events. It's a working...
Yes, you
working
keep telling weekend. Me that. This is your part for ecology, taking the bus down there? Is that
well,
what you're
I just
doing,
didn't want to drive that far.
I see. Basically, friends, he's admitting he's lazy is what he's doing. Okay, we'll be looking for your reports from Austin this weekend, Mark. And we'll have the news in just a couple of minutes. This is the Hollies and the air that I breathe. Hollies in the air that I breathe. This is WCCO-FM 103, Minneapolis. We may set a record high temperature today, and we'll give you complete weather details in just a few minutes. Mark Johnson has news.
Topping the news today, Henry Kissinger says this is going to be his most difficult trip to the Middle East. The balance of trade was down last month, and Senator Humphrey received some good news from his doctors. Henry Kissinger is concerned about his Middle East peace efforts. Roger Gittins reports from the State Department.
Secretary of State Henry Kissinger concedes he's facing his most difficult Middle East peace mission. He told a news conference it will be a lot harder to work out a troop disengagement between Israel and Syria than it was to end the fighting along the Egyptian front. To make the deal more attractive, Kissinger dangled the possibility that, like Egypt, Syria could also be rewarded with millions of dollars in U.S. aid.
It is not impossible that a similar discussion might take place. And we wanted to be in a position to make our contribution if that arises.
Kissinger, who leaves Sunday for the Middle East, said that while an agreement may not be reached during this trip, he believes progress will be made. Roger Gittins at the State Department.
The government reports that its index of business indicators rose by a substantial 1.7% last month. Secretary of Commerce Dent says the increase points to a gradual improvement in the economy in the months ahead. The index is used to forecast future performances in the economy. March's increase marked the third month in a row that the index climbed. And the Commerce Department says there was a balance of trade deficit last month. Spokesman Adrian Cooper says,
U.S. imports increased strongly in March, and the foreign trade balance showed a $171 million deficit, the first deficit since mid-1973. The flow of goods into the United States increased $450 million, or about 6%. While the largest increase was in food shipments, payments for oil continued to increase and are now running three times higher than a year ago. Because of higher prices, Payments for oil are now about $1 billion per month above a year ago.
White House economic advisor Herbert Stein says by the end of the year, the U.S. expects to cut by half the recent average inflation rate of more than 10%. Stein said the major problem facing the United States is whether it can avoid a future problem and revival of the previous level of inflation. Stein spoke at a Malaysian American Society lunch while he was in Kuala Lumpur with the U.S. delegation to the annual Board of Governors meeting of the Asian Development Bank. Cairo newspapers are reporting that police have rounded up all 75 members of an underground group accused of trying to overthrow the Egyptian president. The Arab extremists are accused of killing 11 persons in a raid on a Cairo military school earlier this month. Meanwhile, the Syrians are claiming heavy fighting on the Golan Heights front again today. Charles Ridley reports.
Syrian communiques report a fierce nighttime patrol clash and continuing artillery and tank fire exchanges on the Golan Heights front. One communique said that in the early hours, the Syrians drove off an Israeli patrol which approached their positions with machine guns and grenades. It said the Israelis suffered many casualties. Meanwhile, the Beirut newspaper, Al Safia, quoting reliable Syrian sources, says the Russians have promised to send Syria SAM-9 anti-aircraft missiles. This sophisticated Soviet missile carries multiple warheads capable of beating the Israeli pilot's technique of dropping Gore decoys to deflect the Syrian missiles. Some unconfirmed reports say these missiles have already been observed in action against Israeli phantoms. This is Charles Ridley in Beirut.
A five-judge criminal appeals court in Ankara, Turkey, today upheld a lower court decision that sentenced three Americans to life in prison for conspiring to smuggle drugs into Turkey. The verdict exhausted all legal means for a reversal of sentences of Catherine Zenz, Joanne McDaniel, and Robert Hubbard. The three could benefit from an amnesty bill under present debate in the Turkish parliament. That measure would reduce all life terms to 24 years imprisonment if it were enacted. Ms. Zenz is 28 years old. She's from Lancaster, Wisconsin. U.S. District Judge Gerard Gassell has rejected acquittal and new trial motions for Dwight Chapin, the former presidential appointment secretary, convicted of lying to the Watergate grand jury. In a two-page order, Gassell said the proof that the defendant had deliberately lied was overwhelming. His intent was amply shown and his answers unquestionably false. The nomination of William Simon for Treasury Secretary has been unanimously approved by the Senate Finance Committee. A full Senate vote on the nomination is expected early next week, confirmation expected. Simon, the head of the Federal Energy Office, was nominated by President Nixon to replace George Shultz, who's stepping down. Senator Walter Mondale of Minnesota, one of those who voted for Simon's confirmation. Mondale said he did so with some reservations.
It's the proposition that the president is entitled to have his own cabinet. He was elected, I wasn't. And many times I vote to confirm people whose views I don't agree with, if I think they're able, honorable representatives, and I think Mr. Simon is. He is an able man, he's a decent man, and I disagree with him a great deal, but I don't think that's the basis upon which we withhold our confirmation.
Republican National Chairman George Bush says he's confident President Nixon was not involved in any of the Watergate scandals. His comment came at the opening of a day-long session of the GOP National Committee in Washington. Bush admitted that he has been critical of some of the White House handling of Watergate, but he said he is confident that the president is telling the truth about the whole mess. Meanwhile, the GOP National Committee is going to get the leftovers from the 1972 Republican presidential campaign, Gene Gibbons reports.
According to GOP Chairman George Bush, the Republican National Committee will get whatever money is left over from the president's 1972 campaign after Mr. Nixon's reelection committee pays all of its legal bills. The committee reported a $3.5 million surplus at the end of the 72 presidential race, but a third of this has already been spent on court costs arising from Watergate, and the committee is committed to pay the Democrats $775,000 to settle a damage suit. In a speech to party leaders, Bush said the Republican National Committee will run the party's presidential campaigns in the future. The Republican chairman said he agrees with Vice President Ford's characterization of the committee to reelect the president as an arrogant and elite guard of political adolescence. Gene Gibbons, Washington.
Six conventions to endorse candidates for Minnesota congressional seats are being held tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. If candidates do not receive the party endorsement at the district conventions, the nominations will be decided in primary September 10th. However, endorsed candidates can still be challenged in the party primaries. Two incumbent congressmen are expected to be endorsed. Republicans in the 3rd District meeting tomorrow at Edina West High School will endorse Congressman William Frenzel for a third term. On Sunday, the Democratic Farmer Labor 7th District Convention at Fergus Falls will endorse Congressman Bob Berglund for a third term. The 5th District Convention is at 7:30 tonight in the Normandy Hotel in Minneapolis, with no announced GOP candidate as yet to oppose 5th District incumbent Democrat Donald Frazier. Tomorrow there will be both Republican and DFL conventions in the 3rd District. The DFLers in the 3rd are expected to endorse Golden Valley Mayor Robert Riggs to oppose Republican incumbent Frenzel. Public officials who deny public access to their meetings could be in for big trouble after next Wednesday, and they could even lose their jobs. Minnesota's open meeting law generally requires that meetings of governmental bodies be open to the public, but until now there have been no penalty provisions. However, under a law passed by the 1973 legislature, penalties become part of the law next Wednesday. The law says that any person can bring a court action resulting in a civil penalty of up to $100 against a public official who defies the open meeting law. A civil penalty is similar to a fine, but it isn't criminal in nature. For a third violation, the public official could be removed from office by a court. Efforts were initiated today by the Minnesota Association of Commerce and Industry, that is MACI, to preserve a part-time citizens legislature. The MACI Board of Directors adopted a resolution at its quarterly meeting today committing support of those things which will provide for a part-time legislature made up of representative citizens. Incidental to that objective, the association pledged efforts for legislative staffing, policies, and procedures which will make that situation possible and practical. Doctors at Bethesda Naval Hospital near Washington report that their initial examinations of Minnesota Senator Hubert Humphrey have revealed no evidence of a tumor in his bladder. Humphrey entered the hospital last night for tests to determine if radiation treatments he received last fall were successful. At the time, doctors had detected a pinhead-sized tumor on the bladder and hoped the X-ray treatments would destroy the growth. Doctors disagreed at the time on whether the tumor was cancerous or not. Today, the senator's doctors said the checkup of the former vice president went very well. They said a biopsy was taken, and the results probably will be available next Wednesday. Meanwhile, the Minneapolis City Council voted this morning to bring legal action against a former city policeman, now candidate for Hennepin County Sheriff. With that, another Minneapolis City Council news, WCCO-FM's Rick Olson.
The city of Minneapolis is suing the recently announced candidate for Hennepin County Sheriff. The city charges 35-year-old William Mafferty owes $4,407 paid to him by the city during the period of July 1, 1969 to February 1, 1970. At that time, Mafferty was employed by the city as a police officer. He was granted a leave of absence with full salary to allow him to enter the Winston Churchill Fellowship Program in England. The suit says it was agreed to at that time that Mafferty would return to Minneapolis and serve as a police officer for a period of not less than 3 years. However, when Mafferty returned, he quit his job. Mafferty, a Democrat, announced recently he'll run against Sheriff Donald Omont in next fall's election. Also at this morning's city council meeting, some controversy arose over the operation of the Richfield Bus Company to operate on the Nicollet Mall. The Transportation and Property Services Committee of the City Council has recommended their request be denied. Alderman John Darris argued that the Richfield buses, after repeatedly being denied permission, continue to operate their buses on the mall. Alderman Russ Green said another bus on the mall would not affect the already congested traffic situation, and he said the police department has been instructed not to issue tags to the Richfield buses. Alderman Keith Ford said he opposes the request because of the refusal of the Richfield company to abide by the ruling of the city council. Alderman Neiman then suggested the matter be referred back to committee, and it was on a vote of 7-6. The council also voted to set aside the plan for exclusive bus lanes on Marquette and 2nd Avenues and directed the city engineer to prepare a detailed program for exclusive lanes against the flow of traffic to be put into operation as soon as possible, probably by the spring of next year. At Minneapolis City Hall, this is Rick Olson for WCCO-FM News.
The Minneapolis City Council also approved the appointments of 7 new members of the city's Charter Commission and gave a vote of thanks to a North Minneapolis man who has spent the last 2 years voluntarily picking up litter in a shopping cart on his free time. More legal motions challenging Minnesota's new abortion law will be heard this afternoon in federal court. 5 doctors and an unidentified pregnant woman brought the action last month. A 3-judge federal panel will hear motions at 1 p.m. today. One of the 3 judges signed a temporary restraining order to prohibit enforcement of the new law. The challenge was brought on the grounds the state law conflicts with the U.S. Supreme Court decision of 1972. One of 3 men accused in the abduction of the South St. Paul banker's wife has pleaded guilty to a state charge of kidnapping. 43-year-old Frederick Helberg of South St. Paul pled guilty in Anoka County District Court yesterday. A pre-sentence investigation was ordered. He faces a possible maximum term of 20 years. And a Minneapolis man will appear before a U.S. magistrate today in Minneapolis to answer federal charges in the robbery of a Minnesota Federal Savings and Loan Association office in St. Paul. The FBI said Minneapolis police apprehended 25-year-old Anthony Drago following yesterday's robbery. Drago is being held in the Hennepin County Jail. Authorities said Drago was found after police noted the getaway car described by a witness was similar to one operated by Drago. The Minnesota Supreme Court today ordered a new trial in the death of a woman following surgery at the community hospital in Laverne. That suit had been brought by Wayne Bryan of Hardwick, Minnesota. His wife Irma died following gallbladder surgery, and Hardwick contended that a sponge left in the woman's body contributed to her death. A series of decisions by the jury and District Judge Harvey Holton resulted in a failure to establish the cause of death, and no damages were awarded. Judge Holton's verdict in favor of the two doctors who performed the surgery was overruled by the High Court today. More inoculation clinics are being planned by the Minneapolis Health Department in attempts to quash the recent outbreak of infectious hepatitis. City health officials have scheduled another clinic at the downtown office of the Minneapolis Health Department for tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. Clinics are open today, and anyone who has eaten at the Minneapolis Powers Department Store restaurant in the past few months or come in contact with someone who has contacted the disease is urged to see their physician about receiving a possible inoculation. Some 51 cases of the liver disease have already been confirmed by health officials, but indications are the peak is past. And apparently the State Health Department has met with the approval of Governor Wendell Anderson on the question of whether or not the department deliberately downplayed warnings of possible health hazards about asbestos fibers in Duluth's water supply. That question came up when State Senator Ralph Doty of Duluth asked Anderson to find out if health department officials acted to counter stern health warnings at the urging of Duluth Mayor Ben Boo. A recent newspaper report quoted Ben Boo as saying he had managed the news in Duluth regarding the apparent health threat by stimulating public statements that countered those health warnings. And the Environmental Protection Agency won't allow Duluth drinking water to go through interstate commerce. In decertifying the water, the agency said Duluth can regain certification by installing a suitable filtration system. Reserve Mining Company's taconite dumping has been blamed for the asbestos-like particles in the water. Some disagree, though. Duluth Port Director Tom Brucke says he will challenge the EPA ruling. Brucke says the agency will have to prove to him that Duluth water is unfit for human consumption. And on another front, the state civil defense director, James Urchell, who directed Minnesota conservation and fuel distribution efforts during the winter, says he's afraid Minnesotans are forgetting what they've learned. Urchell says that as he drives, he finds a lot of people passing him.
Yes, I'm beginning to be a little bit afraid that people are forgetting the conservation programs that we've so successfully implemented the past few months.
WCCO-FM News asked Urchell how we stand now.
Well, for the month of May now, we're just now compiling the figures that the petroleum suppliers are giving us, and our supplies of gasoline look like they'll be about 8% short of anticipated requirements. If we were to abandon conservation procedures, we would be in a very difficult situation.
Urchell says the gas shortage is definitely not over. Bob Barrett of the Minnesota Petroleum Retailers Association says he agrees that the public has forgotten about the shortage and that sales of campers have picked up. Barrett says many brand dealers are getting only 80% of their 1972 supply. Judge Joseph Bottom today cleared his Sioux Falls courtroom of some 55 American Indian Movement members and sympathizers without violence. The spectators had refused to stand when he entered this morning to resume jury selection in the case of five Custer defendants. Bottom then ordered the courtroom cleared, but spectators refused to leave their seats. A few persons were forcibly removed by the sheriff's deputies and police detectives. Then some stood and left. Others linked arms and were removed from the courtroom by authorities. AIM leader Dennis Banks was one of the last persons in the courtroom, and he suggested to the others that they leave. Warm spring and summer-like weather was blamed for the smaller turnout than expected in the National Farmer Organization's sale of dairy cattle in southern Minnesota yesterday. Some 300 dairy cattle were brought for slaughter southwest of Mankato. NFO organizers had predicted 500 cattle would be brought to market in its protest over low milk support prices. And NFO Dairy Division Director Gene Paul of Delavan says, however, the sale yesterday, combined with 13 other sell-offs, has been having the desired effect. A fire, which authorities think may have been started by arsonists, was still smoldering early this morning in two large stacks of flax straw at the west end of Winona. The fire could be seen across the Mississippi River into Wisconsin. Authorities said there were no machinery and no power lines close to the stacks. The flax straw stacks measured 55 feet high, 100 to 120 feet long, and 40 feet wide. Officials say spontaneous combustion was also a possibility. A man from Fertile, Minnesota, died of smoke inhalation early today in a Granite Falls motel. Authorities say the victim, 24-year-old Michael Gullickson, had been watching television in his motel unit and apparently was smoking. The bed mattress caught fire. Gullickson suffered burns in one hip, but Sheriff Hans Strand of Chippewa County said death resulted from smoke inhalation. The Minnesota Public Service Commission yesterday ordered Northwestern Bell Telephone Company to provide a cheaper and a simpler protection device for customer-owned voice recording equipment. WCCO-FM newsman Bill Bischel reports.
The commission says Bell's devices are over-engineered and overpriced. The company has been given 90 days to file a revision of its rate for interconnected equipment that would provide a low-cost protection device and one of less complicated configuration. The new rate also must provide standard installation costs for all types of such couplers, and such charges must be consistent with installation charges for other terminal equipment. The PSC held hearings in December and January on a complaint filed by John Patterson of Minneapolis, owner of AT&T Company, a firm selling and servicing voice recorder equipment that it connects to the Bell network. Bell claimed its couplers were necessary to protect the company's network from signaling and line balance harms. Bill Bischel, WCCO-FM News.
Plans for a multi-million dollar renovation of two blocks of downtown Minneapolis riverfront will be unveiled today. The area to be developed lies directly opposite St. Anthony Falls in Minneapolis and contains some of the city's oldest and most distinguished buildings. Cost of the renovation expected to run from $15 to $20 million. And it was probably like an early Christmas yesterday at the Metropolitan Transit Commission as the first shipment of new buses arrived. The first 10 of the new 296 buses ordered almost a year ago arrived in the Twin Cities yesterday from the Flexible Bus Company in Lauderville, Ohio. The new buses cost approximately $42,000 apiece and differ little except for glossier red paint jobs and more comfortable seating from the newer buses now operating on Twin City streets. The executive director of the MTC, Cam Andre, said the new buses will be put to use almost immediately on the express service for Interstate 35W and I-94. Andre said some of the older buses will remain on the streets for some time. WCCO-FM News asked the executive director of the MTC how well the express service on the Twin Cities freeways is working out.
Well, the express buses, the I-94 express route is working out fairly well. It started out on a very meager basis, but we sort of expect that. But ridership's increasing very rapidly, and this is the first week of operation, of course, and so we're highly pleased with the kind of response we're getting on that service. The I-35W route has increased quite a bit. We initiated service on that system over a year ago and started out with 11,000 passengers a week. Now we're about 30,000 as a figure for on a weekly basis, so it's has progressed very well. One of the limitations on that has been is that we haven't had the additional buses to add to service on the I-35W system, but now we will have those with the delivery of new buses.
Andre also reluctantly admitted that the new buses may not help the present bus traffic and congestion now apparent on downtown streets during peak hours. Presently, there are about 350 buses in the Minneapolis downtown area during the 25 minutes of peak traffic during the morning and evening rush hours. A three-car accident in suburban Maplewood on I-94 yesterday claimed the life of a man from St. Paul, Robert Rorsheim. Two persons were hospitalized in fair condition, while three others suffered minor injuries in the mishap. The State Patrol said two of the cars crashed head-on at McKnight Road and I-94, and a third car hit one of the other two vehicles broadside. The fatal raised the 1974 road toll to 171. That's compared to 238 this time last year. A report by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners shows that the frequency of automobile accident claims against the nation's 23 largest auto insurance companies dropped markedly in the first 2 months of 1974. The report says injury claims are down nearly 6% and vehicle damage claims dropped nearly 7% in the first 2 months of this year. The trend apparently reflects the results of the fuel shortage, namely lowered driving speeds and reduced travel. The report has been sent to the state insurance commissioners across the nation for review. WCCO-FM News talked with Tom O'Malley of the Minnesota Insurance Commission this morning. We asked him if the state planned to encourage any auto rate reductions because of that report.
We're a little reluctant to take any direct action, even under the law, at this time because of the fact that there is this indication that 2 months is probably an inadequate period of time for rate making. In all of the material that was sent us by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners and this task force, there is a fair amount of material there that they attribute, or where, I should say, where they discuss this element of the decrease in frequency of accidents is apparently being offset by the inflation. You know, this is the kind of stuff you get into.
Tom O'Malley of the State Insurance Commission. The Dow Jones was up this noon. Tom Wendell reports from New York.
On the American, volume is 920,000 shares. Of 737 issues trading, 224 advancing, 236 declining. Among the most widely held stocks, AT&T at 46 3/4. General Motors down 1/8. Exxon up 3/8. General Electric down 1 3/8. Among the most active stocks in the New York Exchange, American Airlines up 1/8. Con Edison down 5/8. Public Service Electric and Gas down 1/4. Kresge up 1/8. IT&T down 1/4. Repeating, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.15 at 827.83. Tom Wendell, New York.